It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in Genesis chapter 32. We're going to begin reading with verse 23, Genesis 32:23. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, again, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that that was enough time for you to find your place so that we can begin reading today God's precious Word. It's wonderful to enjoy that time and to listen very carefully to God's Word as we read it. So we begin now Genesis chapter 20, chapter 32, verse 23. And as he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. As he wrestled with him, he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he says, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up on him, and he halted upon his thigh. And therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaidens. And he put the handmaidens and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them, and bowed himself to the ground 7 times, until he came near to his brother. Esau ran to meet him, and embraced him, and fell on his neck, and kissed him, and they wept. Let's begin with prayer now, after we've read God's precious Word. Father, we thank you that we can come today and enjoy this time and this study. I ask that you will guide and lead us, and show us your way and will, that we may walk with you, and fellowship with you, and grow with you, and enjoy your wisdom, and enjoy your power and your strength, Lord. Please have us to understand that without you there is no life. So now, guide and lead us, Lord, in your way and will, and in this study today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of things happening here in Jacob's life. And it's quite a system that's going on here, quite a process that's going on. And as we look at it very carefully here, we'll understand that where all this kind of had a start was right back here in verse 10. In Genesis 32:10, it says, "I am not worthy of the least of the mercies of all the truth which thou showed unto thy servant." We need to get to that place. Each one of us need to realize that as we come before the Lord with our prayers and our requests, that we are not worthy to be before him. We're not worthy to ask. We have nothing to bargain with. It is all God's mercy. as he will show us kindness and show us blessings. And so it started there in Jacob's life, and of course we know what brought Jacob to that place. He saw 400, heard that there were 400 men coming with Esau, and he felt like he probably was about to die. He was not a fighting man. He didn't know whether Esau was or not. Esau has always been the strong one and Jacob the weak one as far as physical was concerned. And so now here comes what he was afraid was the enemy. And so he got a plan here. He made a plan. And in making that plan, why he thought he would try to figure out, to begin with, he divided into twos, because that way you could only conquer one or the other. And so he did that first. If Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. That was part of his thinking. And he realized that he probably didn't have a chance against Esau and this 400 men. And instead of begging unto God, he just told him, he says, you know, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. And so whatever happens, Lord. And that was quite a growth for Jacob. And so he also then lined up a series of gifts to be sent to Esau that went ahead of his family. And we still have Jacob and his two women servants, and then the two wives, Leah and Rachel, and all the children. And that was staying with Jacob. He sent ahead many gifts. And so that was the second process that he was working on here. He was trying to figure out how to make this work. He had forgotten that God told him to go home. He had forgotten that God, when you're following his directions, he will give you strength and power and wisdom and safety. And so all this was in place, but Jacob kind of had forgot about it, so he began to try to figure out how he was going to save himself. And so that was the two processes that he had used in working with this. And so now we come and we find ourselves here in the next section. And as we're looking at this, we find that, get ourselves to the 23rd verse, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over that he had. And he said Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And as that went on, why he had that process still hoping. And there's a question here whether Jacob himself, was he ahead of his family? In other words, he would try to stand up against Esau first. We're not real sure, but we do know that he went on the opposite side. Well, here's where we really have a lot to gain and to learn today, because when we look at what's taking place here, Jacob was left alone. He'd went to the other side, left his family alone. He'd sent these gifts forward towards Esau, and he was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And upon the wrestling of this man and this battle that went on, we're not told in the 24th verse who that he's talking about and the battle that's going on. But when he saw that he prevailed not against him, and this is the one that he is wrestling with. Jacob is wrestling with this man, and Jacob is fighting with him, and he's not going to give up. Well, this other man, he had touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out, and so he literally put his leg, his thigh, out of joint. And as he wrestled with him, he said, let me go for the break of day. Even though Jacob was in that condition, and even though that was taking place, Jacob still didn't stop fighting with him, even though he was injured and crippled, literally. And so this man that he was fighting with, that Jacob was fighting with, says, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said to him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Well, this man said, And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Now, you know, we have the nation of Israel. We have the nation of Israel today. That's God's chosen people. They will forever be here, no matter how many enemies go against Israel. But this is the beginning of the nation of Israel. The promise came to Abraham and went on to Isaac and then on to Jacob. But now that we look at Jacob, we find here in verse 28 that Jacob's name was turned to Israel. Maybe you wondered where that name came from, the nation of Israel. That name was given unto a people, and those the people, God's chosen people, are here today and will forever be here. They will always be special in God's eyes, and that was given to them about 1,800 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. So that would be 3,700 years ago. The birth of the nation of Israel was in place, and they have always been a people ever since then. And again, the enemies of God have set out to destroy them. And the one thing that the folks hate the United States for, hate America for, is because we stand with Israel. Well, we have to stand with Israel because they are God's chosen people. And anyone that stands with Israel will have the blessings of God. Anyone that stands against Israel will face the curse and judgment of God. The birth was given right here. The name was given. And it was called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. And so remember that. Don't forget that. Maybe you didn't realize where that came from. God gave them the name. That wasn't just a, you know, like ourselves, we call our, it's United States of America. This here, you know, when you have each state, Illinois and Missouri and Iowa and the different names of the states, God didn't give us those names. God gave the names to this people, the people of Israel. And it tells us here why he's getting that special blessing. It says, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. And so we find that very name, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with man. That was the nation of Israel. It is, as you follow through and you get into Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you get on into the Promised Land, you come all the way up to King David and Solomon's time, and you watch the building of the temple, and God says, I am in this place. So not only is it the nation of Israel, the people, but also there is a location, a geographic location, and that is in what we call here the land of Canaan, but there will be a city named Jerusalem. And that will be their city, and God says, I will be there. There's going to be a time that the nation, the city of Jerusalem will be the world headquarters. Now, you can believe that or not. It doesn't matter, because God's word says it, and it'll be true. The world headquarters for everything, spiritually and the physical needs of man, everything will be centered in Jerusalem. That's something that's still to come, but it will come. It's beginning right here, Israel, the nation of Israel. And this man and this nation, this people, power with God and with man. And then in verse 29 it goes on and says, Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after me my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, or Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up on him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel ate not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, up unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Jacob, there's a couple of stages here. When he left Canaan, you remember the fight with Esau and Jacob. And Esau was out to kill Jacob. And so Jacob fled back to where Abraham had come from. You remember Isaac had gotten his bride from the same place over around Ur of Chaldees, what we'd call Babylon, what we'd call Baghdad today. You want to keep things current here. He went back into that region, that area, and he got Jacob, and he got Rachel and Leah, and then he got the two woman servants. And when he was coming back home, he had 12 children. He had 11 sons and one daughter. The 12th son was not born yet. It'll be born back in the homeland of Canaan. But when Jacob left there, he was a man of the flesh. He desired to have spiritual things, but he was going about it the fleshly way. He would trick his dad for the blessing. He tricked Esau for his birthright. The old way of flesh. Now he's found his way to Peniel here, and that place is where he fought. Now that battle, that man that I talked about, I don't want you to miss that, because he fought literally with the pre-incarnate Christ. That's who the battle was with. You see, Jacob was about to become a great spiritual leader of a spiritual family, the nation of Israel, and God had to get a hold of him. And you know, first of all, as I said at the beginning, I am not worthy of the least of these mercies. That was back in the 10th verse of chapter 32. Jacob had gotten to a place where he understood he deserved nothing. But when he went back, he worked, and still flesh. It was still all the desires of the flesh as he was back in the land of Haran, back in Babylon, back in Ur of Chaldees, in that region there. It was still all desires. You know, there's going to be a battle in each one of our lives. And at some point in time, we need to understand that we need to walk by faith, not by the flesh. Well, Jacob had not learned that until now. He was doing everything. Remember what I just said at the beginning of the study today? How that he decided when Esau was coming with the 400 men, what was he going to do? He divided into two different groups. And he divided those two different groups up, and because he said, well, that way Esau can only kill one of the groups. Well, that wasn't much faith, was it? Well, then he turned around. He started sending all the gifts before him that he could go. And so we did that in the process of time. And even then, he still wonders what's to happen. And we're going to begin there in chapter 33 here in just a few minutes. But as we finish this out, I want you to see that there was a fight, and Jacob lost, and he realized that he has to walk by faith. Jacob wouldn't let go, though. During that battle, he wouldn't let go until God blessed him. And we need to do the same thing. We need to search the will of God, and we need to hold on to God until we get that blessing. And so a couple of wonderful things there that we need to look at and enjoy as we come each time. Now we're going to begin here in chapter 33 and see what we have to say and to see there. You know, as we're looking here at this, beginning to look at the chapter 33, I want first to back up. I missed a little spot here that I don't want to. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I told you it was in Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. He fought there. And he held on to him, and he wasn't going to let go until he received a blessing. And if we would set after our God and look to him for everything, depend upon him for everything, and says, God, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Well, he has blessed us. He's blessed us with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has blessed us so that we could come and live and enjoy a real life coming by faith, having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Jacob fought here. You know, he was a believer. He believed in God. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what he didn't do, he had never surrendered. Well, finally he has surrendered. And so he has named this place. I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And so he named it, and he passed over Penuel. The sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Remember, he was crippled. Remember Paul? Remember what happened there? You know, sometimes we have to, in order for ourselves to seek after the strength of God and the will of God, we need to understand that we need to surrender to Him. And many times we don't do that. And so we're going to go to Romans and take a quick look here at Paul, and then we'll get to the next chapter. But we have Romans chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 19. Romans 7:19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. You know, we find as we work each day, we struggle each day. Jacob was in the flesh. Jacob fought with the flesh, with his own flesh, and fought with the Lord, and surrendered and began to walk by faith. But he was so, he knew he had met with God. He had knew he had seen the presence of God. All this had taken place. But as we look at this scripture verse here, it is something that will be a continual battle. And Paul knew it. I think you need to know it. I know it. The fight has to come. We need to walk by faith. But there will be a constant battle for us to slip back into that flesh. For it is that for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. There's the condition Paul's in. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And so we got a battle. It was here with Jacob, and something to read and to know and understand what's going on in Jacob's life, what's going on in Paul's life, and maybe understand what's going on in our own lives when it comes to us sitting down and surrendering unto the Lord and walking with Him. Now we get to chapter 33. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaidens. And he put the handmaidens of the children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. You know, we read that far a while ago, and we may even get just a little bit further, but first of all, we need to look what he is doing, what he's put into place here. And he lined everybody up. Do you look at the priorities that's in Jacob's life here, in Israel's life? He put the handmaidens first and their children, and then he put Leah next, and then he kept Rachel closest to him, that hopefully harm would not come. And so I said closest to him. In the back, we find that Jacob here is, it must be in front of all of them. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. That wasn't quite the scene that Jacob was fearing, was it? Was he afraid that Esau was going to come and hug him and welcome him and care for him, and show him great love? I don't think so. He passed over before them, so he went ahead of them, bowed himself to them, to the ground seven times. You know, seven in the scripture is a time of completeness or perfection, until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Again, not what Jacob was afraid of. What was Esau looking for? Why did Esau have 400 men with him? Was he just traveling and that's what he had with him? It wasn't that it was his great army and he was going to come and destroy Jacob or whoever got in the road. We're not really told. But we do know here that Esau has come with open arms and is glad to see his brother back. How many years has it been since he's seen his brother? How long has it been? 20 years, isn't it? 7 and 7 and 6 would be 20 years since Jacob had seen Esau. And I tell you what, that was a long, long 20 years. And I think Esau by that time had long cooled off. He was very sorry to have been so angry at his brother, and to think that his brother would stay away so long. Did he feel guilty about that? We're going to find out where everybody else is. Where's Isaac and Rebekah and where's the rest of the family now? But Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And then Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." And then the handmaidens came there, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. Leah also with her children come near and bowed themselves. After came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he says, "What meanest thou by all that I drove which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of the Lord." Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." And Jacob says, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my presence at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I have seen the face of God, and thou hast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessings that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, "Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee." Oh, what a wonderful greeting here that he had. Sure wasn't what he was looking for, what he suspected. He thought that it was going to be a battle, and probably that Esau would come and steal what he wanted and kill the rest, destroy the rest. Instead of that, well, he found someone a little bit different. You know, how many times do we worry about something that never comes to pass? How many times do we go before the Lord? Do we wrestle with the Lord so that he will bless us? We need to be in his will and his way. We need to know what God's will is for our life, that we will stand before him and walk with him and praise his name. Jacob has been through a lot. Ran out of his own land by his brother. Went to another land. Was cheated many times by his now father-in-law Laban. Left at the middle of the night so that no one could see him leave, because he feared what Laban would do. Laban chased after him. Still haven't found those two statues, have we? Those two gods that were stolen. And remember what we said just a little while back. Isn't it something how Laban's gods could be stolen? My God cannot be stolen from me. Is your God something that can be stolen from you and taken from you? If it is, it's you do not know the God that I know. You do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I ask that you come today and you call upon him today and you search his will and way. Jacob is finally setting himself home. The fear of Esau was gone. God told him. God said, "Go home. Why was he afraid? Why are we afraid to do what God calls us to do and tells us to do? It's the old flesh, isn't it? My dear friend, we come together. We enjoy this time together. I want you to see this man, Jacob. His name now has changed to Israel. I want you to see how God begins to bless him and use him in these next few chapters. But I want you, first of all, to see Jesus Christ, that you know him as your personal Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?